Y'all please stand up and let's pray together. I'd like to pray with you also, if that's all right. I've never met the man that's prayed too much. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so much. In the name of Jesus, thank you, God, for the words, the music, the praise, the honor that's yours. In the name of Jesus, God, we love you. We tell you that unashamed. We're not ashamed of it, God. We love you. And we thank you that the devil, the liar, is destroyed and brought down, and all of his kingdom is, God, is undermined by the powers of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, I rebuke the devil.
Yes.
I speak confusion to every one of his voices in Jesus' name.
Yes. Yes.
And I speak liberty and life in the Holy Ghost by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Did we take that offering?
Yes.
I saw some offering bags here. Right.
Yeah, have a seat.
Did everybody get an offering bag?
More.
Yes, Lord.
Well, we're going to do something here that will more than likely be a good challenge for you. Just see how serious we are. I'll give it a good swat and see what happens. Let's talk about a little bit of something that Americans don't like to talk about. Commitment. Faithfulness. And let's just talk about it a little bit. I'll just share with you and we'll see where we go. Alright? We build up Jesus. We do not build any man's camp or any man's kingdom. We build the kingdom of God. You understand? Alright. 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 1. Just hoping, would you please stand up and let them see who you are, the ones that don't know you? There you go. Yeah. She's the best wife around. She's not available. All righty. Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll look at verse 4 and start right there and see how far we get. Says that, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus. I haven't known you all that long, but I do thank God for you. I do see that there's a zeal here to seek God. You seem to be honestly trying to find the right trail. So am I. I want to be right. See, in my whole life, before I've had goals, you know. Before I got born again, they weren't too good. It wasn't the right things. It wasn't Jesus. It was the devil. And I'm sorry. I apologize to God about that 100 times so far. He's forgiven me once. But the devil comes back and he brings you and browbeats you and whoops you with some of that stuff occasionally. Y'all don't know anything about that, right? And he messes with you a lot. But I do. I thank God that I can be around people that are really honestly trying to find the right trail. I've been deceived before, and I will be again, no doubt about it. I was telling the leaders today how one of the top men in our group, our organization, our group of churches, I literally tutored the boy, the young man, in my own home. Taught him a lot, educated him a lot myself. He was an Indian boy. How he turned out to be a communist spy in our church group. Doesn't feel very good. But if you're really and honestly seeking God, you really are after the hand of God. I thank God for you. I really do. Because that's not the usual anymore in the Church of the Living God. Should be, but it's not. See? There's something here we need to look at, that in everything you are enhanced, enriched by Jesus, in utterance and knowledge. There's no reason for anybody to be short in the kingdom of God. I don't mean in stature. I mean in glory, in power. There's no call for that. There's no cause for it. One of the reasons why the casualty rate for missionaries is around 80% is because people come to the field and find out that they are short when it comes to the glory of God. They get down there and find a wake-up call. It's called a devil with a hammer, and he starts pounding them. And they were, whether they weren't taught at home in their local church, whether they didn't receive it, whether their foundation wasn't built in the right place or with the right attitude of heart, whatever the reason, they get hammered and they quit. 8 out of 10 people that come, of the 2 that remain, most of them leave before year 10. Why? Call change? Vision change? Lack of work? Or what I call opportunities for faith? Did that change? No. What changed is the individual. When the war got hot, when they're not the bright lad or the elder son that's getting all the glory anymore, they run. I am not a judge of these people. I'm a lonely man that's overworked because they quit. Because they go home. And my Indians suffer because they quit. I don't like that. When Indians suffer, I get excited. But I thank my God on your behalf that in the name of Jesus, you will not be part of the percentage of quitters, but you will endure and you will have knowledge and it will be granted you utterance. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, these people had confirmation from God. I'm telling you, I know them. I've watched their lives. It's not that. It's not that God didn't send them. Some of them, yes, went out of glory hunting. But most of them were really sent from God. But there's a reason for it here. It's found right here. It says, so that you come behind in no gift. It's the will of God that you are equipped. It's provided for you under the statutes of the new covenant. It's yours. The devil's a liar.
Amen.
Always. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Troops, listen to me. The world is waiting for us. It's ours. It's been given to us. In Psalms chapter 2, just hold your hand right here and run over there. Let me real quick read this to you. In my Bible, what it says. Verse 8, Psalms 2:8. Ask of me and I shall give you the heathen for an inheritance. It's mine. And the uttermost parts of the earth, I take it. You can work wherever you want to. Just give me that beyond the limit out there. I want it. Where normal human endurance stops. Where a normal called individual quits is where we start. And I'm serious. And I challenge the devil, and I challenge every limit he puts out there. And I break them. Because I'm God called. I'm not man sent. I thank God for the people that back me and do help us and so forth and so on. But they didn't call me out there. They didn't send me out there. The Holy Ghost did, and the anointing did. Quality thinking. I heard a saying here a while back, superior mental attitude. You need it to survive now. Well, now, way back there in the 70s when everything was hopping real, it was a lot easier then than it is now. There's more devils or something. Something's going on. You theologians, you can tell everybody what's going on. But something's happening. But I know what the Bible says right here to me, and that's that I don't have to come behind in any gift. They're mine. And there's no competition between us because we're on the same team and you can have them too. Do you understand? If you're in competition with a brother, you're in competition with the devil himself. It's not with a brother you're in competition with. It's yourself and your own greed. There's something here we need to look at, all right? Who shall also confirm you? How long? The end is a relevant thing. It's according to God's purpose for your life. My end may be shorter than yours or longer than yours. That's not the point. The thing is that you are confirmed all the way. My ticket is real and it's valid. And you can't revoke it, and neither can the devil. And it doesn't matter how much turbulence he sends my way, my plane will arrive. Amen. And here's why. Look at verse 9, the first three words in the King James. Because God is faithful, Pastor. That's why. Have y'all ever jumped in front of a wide open locomotive and tried to stop it with just pushing on it? You can't. That's what I feel like inside. That's I am a locomotive. At full steam. And there's not much can stop that. All right. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship with His Son. Now, there's been a few things happen to me in my lifetime that I don't think y'all are aware of, that I think I'm going to have some of y'all sitting back with your eyeballs opened up a little here this afternoon. You probably are going to say, I have a hard time with that. No problem. The devil did too. He lost.
Hallelujah.
He did. He lost. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. I want to share something with you that happened to me personally. Is that okay? It's a personal thing. We go to church every day where I live. I preach between 2 and 3 times a day, every day. I take off, try to get off 4 days a month. Try to. Don't get it very much, but I try to. And one of these particular mornings, we were all set. We had about 8 services to do. I had my 2, and I was going to them, and had, 7 or 8 of the Americans with me, and we were going, and It was a really severe hike. It takes us 3 hours in vehicle to get to the drop-off spot. Then you hike for 3 hours one way to get there. Beautiful, though, the mountains, 8,000 feet tall. They're beautiful. Oh, it's amazing how beautiful the peaks and the... You're running through these mountains and it's just you and God and the devil. Really nice. And you're going along. I have my little boy. Well, he wasn't so little. Have my boy with me and we're going along there and I'm leading. I got my backpack on. I'm hiking. I always sing and whistle and worship God. There's a couple people here that know that to be true. When I'm hiking, I'm after it. I am praising Jesus. It don't matter about the circumstances. It don't matter how hot or how cold. It don't matter how steep or how flat. It all matters that you worship Jesus. I'm confirmed. Do you understand? I'm not behind in any guilt. I'm blessed. So it doesn't matter. Everything else is irrelevant to me. What matters is doing right in the sight of God and man. So I'm hiking through there and there was a pain hit me. It was kind of like a spike or a spike would feel like if it hit you. Hit me in the top of the head. And I was dizzy. We came up on this manantial, which is a spring of water. And so I sat down by it and was drinking it and happy. I was thanking God for it. Thank you, Jesus. It's an artesian well. Free-flowing spring. And it's really wonderful up those high mountains. That water is good. So I drank the water. I was dizzy, but I wasn't telling anybody. I told the guys, y'all go ahead, I'm going last now. And that's unusual. It's not normal. Y'all go ahead, I'll be along directly. They won't hardly move without me, those guys. Are y'all in 1 Corinthians 10? See, they went ahead and I started behind them and this dizziness wouldn't leave me alone. That throb in my head, it would not leave me alone. And I knew it was witchcraft. I knew it. That's all right. Okay, let's go. I'm going to do it. I'm going to throw it off. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to push it out. That's all right. Hey, I'm used to it. All right. Got to go preach Jesus. Go. So I'm hiking. The next pain was different. There was an explosion took place right here and it flew through my arm like an electricity bolt, and when it hit the tip of my finger it threw me off the mountain. I don't really know how long I was out, but I was knocked out cold. Hadn't happened very many times in my life. That one did it. I came to, I'm laying down the mountain, my son is there, he's praying for me. Some of the other missionaries are there praying. They're trying to get me up, let me alone. Now all of a sudden I can't talk very loud anymore. It's amazing what happened. I'm the weakest human being, I can't even hardly move. So I won't have them help me though. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to cast out devils. So I climb up the mountain on my hands and knees, on my elbows really, got back up on that trail. And I sit there and I told them, you fellas go on, I'll be along directly. So they started shuffling off, they wouldn't obey me very well. And in a few minutes I was able to get up and stand up straight. And so let's try this again. Here we go again. I'm not behind in any guilt. God is faithful. It doesn't matter what the devil says. I started walking slow, shuffling now. I can't hardly move. They've already taken my backpack. They wouldn't give it back to me. And so I'm trying to go. I can't hardly go. My feet feel like they got 100-pound lead weights on them. I can't hardly move. And went a little ways and another pain came.
It was another pop here, and it went down through here like a lightning bolt again. When it got the end of my finger again, I remember turning upside down, and I was gone again. And when I come to this time, I didn't get up. I stayed there this time. I told my boy, I said, "Boy, listen to me. You go up there and tell those boys, those Americans, you tell them I said, go get them devils out of them engines. I'm not going to make it this time." And to a guy like me, that's not fun. And so, what's happening?
We got a battery going. You're using up all the batteries.
In Jesus' name, overcome. I don't need it. Okay. You need to be careful trying to slip up on me like that. There's more than one reason a fella stays alive in the jungle like I do. So, my boy did what I told him to, and by the time he got back to me, I crawled back up on the trail, and I apologized to him for the foolishness of this sickness that had hit me, and I told him that God would surely heal us, but I had to count on him to get me out of that mountain, because I can't carry myself. You're going to have to help me. So he carried my backpack and me on his back. 11 years old. I couldn't go anymore. I sat down on a rock. I told him, "I apologize, son. I can't go anymore." And if you raise your boy right, this is what he's going to tell you when you're dying. "You listen to me, Daddy. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to get up and walk."
Hallelujah!
And I looked at that kid, and I obeyed him. Because he was telling me the truth. So I got up and fumbled a little ways further up that hill, sat down on another rock. Didn't say nothing to him this time, just looked at him. He come back there, he grabbed me by the face like I do thousands of people. He said, "Yeah, you listen to me. You will get up and you will walk in the name of Jesus. No devil's killing my daddy in the name of Jesus." So I obeyed again. And after a while, we got out. We got down, back down to the starting point, which was one of our missionary homes. And I laid in there for a long time, sick. And as God would do it, there was one of our other missionaries out at another church, and because of some feuding and different murders and things, there was a village meeting. And so they had to cancel church, so he came back early and was wondering what he was going to do with himself. And when he got there, there I was laid out. So my truck's there. I left the keys for the people that had come with me, and he loaded me up in his truck, and he got me back to her. So she stays up all night praying for me because the tremors kept coming. And it would knock me out a while, and it would come back, and I was jumping and wiggling and carrying on like just the devil. I didn't realize that all night had gone by and all day had gone by. I did not know that. My mind was gone. I was somewhere else. But finally, I realized, I told her, I said, "What time is it now?" She said, "It's 3:30 in the afternoon. "Oh, well, I've got to go to church." She She said, you can't go to church. Don't you understand you're dying? I said, so be it. I'd rather die for Jesus than be an invalid somewhere the rest of my life. I'm talking about commitment. I'm talking about I'm not behind in any guilt. I'm talking about pain like only a few of you in this room understand. I'm talking pain. I'm talking God understands if I stay home today. I'm talking God will understand. Those Indians will understand. They know I love them. I've got years of experience. They know I love them. They know if I stay home, it's because I am either dead or almost there. So, my wife wouldn't get my clothes. So I rolled out of that bed and crawled over there and got my own. They hid my keys from me. A lot of the missionaries were at the house begging, pleading. It's not trying to prove or be prideful to anybody. It's a personal thing between me and the devil. Do you understand that? It's a thing where he has got me stopped, where the Bible says I'm not behind in any guilt. I do understand all of your arguments about wisdom. Keep them to yourself when it concerns me and my engines. God called me to preach for them. God called me to die for them. So I'll do just that, whether you like it or not. Thank you. So finally I talked them out of my keys because they wouldn't. I was supposed to ride with somebody else and they wouldn't let me ride in their truck, so I had to go drive my own truck. I can't tell you how many holes there are on them roads. Them roads are rough. Every one of them, there was something loose in right in this area here. It was loose because every hole, it wiggled. And it would shoot pain through me, and I couldn't hardly drive. But I finally made it to where we were going. It was an hour and a half. Got at this village. The reason I had to go is because we were going to pray for a man that was dying with tuberculosis. And we were starting a new church. I had to go. Because God told me to go. He didn't tell me to sit home and whine because your heart's blowing up. He said, go. And he said, tell them Jesus is King and Lord. He said, tell them that God is faithful. So at all costs, I'm going to do that. So we had to eat. Everywhere you go, you eat. They gave me this little bowl of red stuff called moly. It's really hot. The people I work with enjoy hot, 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 hot food. Every bite it hurts. That hot, spicy stuff hurts when you're like this. I don't know why, but it really does. But I made it through the meal anyway. Got time to go. I told the brothers, I said, I need one Indian to stay with me. And I need the rest of you Americans and the other Indians, y'all go on ahead. I'll be there after a while. Started up this hill. I couldn't walk, so I had to crawl. To you this seems foolish and unusually selfish of myself. But listen to the rest of the story before you judge me, please. So I'm walking and a thing came back on me and hit me, knocked me out a while. I was down, I don't know how long, the while. But I come back too, and one of the missionaries named Ron Testa was praying over me, rebuking the spirit of death when I woke up. And See, I couldn't walk now. I had to crawl. But I found something in my Bible, you see. In verse 13. See, there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. I view everything that's opposing the gospel as a temptation from the devil. My life's very simple, as you're finding out. Anything, doesn't matter how it looks good to me or for me, if it'll stop me from doing God's perfect will for my life, it's from the devil. And I won't do it. Or any temptation like this sickness that has racked my body pretty hard here. So I'm crawling and my buddy's with me and he's holding me, holding my shirt collar so I won't fall in the mud. And I'm crawling because I'm going to pray for that man with tuberculosis, you see. Because I'm called of God to do it and I'm not behind in any guilt. I made it. I didn't walk. I crawled into that hut on my hands and knees. And there was a man laying almost dead with tuberculosis. Pain, mud, I was muddy all over. I crawled up to that man, fell on top of him. God, heal him! Tuberculosis, you're a devil sent from hell. I curse you by the glory of the cross. And you come out of this man, and you do not enter his body ever again. In the name of Jesus. And when I said that wonderful name that time, something happened. There was a warmth fell on me, went right over my body, right down through, all the way down and all over. That Indian startled, looked at me and said, "What is the calor? What is the heat?" I said, "It's the Holy Ghost."
Hallelujah.
And I said, "In that heat will drive that devil out of you." But I didn't pay any attention to what was happening to me. I wasn't used to being sick. I'm used to being healthy. So I didn't notice whenever I bounced up off of the guy and start shouting orders to everybody what we're going to do. That's normal. Do this, do that. Let's go. Come on, move out. Let's get some engines in. Get them born again. What are you doing? Don't look at me like that. I didn't know what they were looking at. I didn't realize that the heat went through me into him, healed me on the way through, and healed him also.
Hallelujah.
Yeah! Because you see, there's a thing here in my Bible that says it right here just as plain. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful.
Yeah. Yahoo!
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. It says, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, to escape, that you can bear it. I know one thing, I can handle a lot of pain. That I know. But I also know when that Holy Ghost comes, he can handle a lot himself. Because he took all that pain out of my body and took all that tuberculosis out of that other guy all at one thump, and I never saw him miss a lick. It's amazing. Amazing. I didn't notice till after a while, because I stepped out of that hut. I'm always whistling, right, Brother Greg? There's a tune I whistle. It just will not leave my mind. No dejes apagar, no dejes apagar el Espíritu Santo de Dios. Don't let it go out, the Holy Ghost of the living God. Because you see, my Bible says God's able. It says He's faithful. Look in Isaiah a minute. See, I have this trouble with Isaiah. Me and Isaiah, see, I had this dream once. There was this guy got in the back of my truck. Had on a long robe and long white hair. So I stopped my truck and got up. Look, what are you doing in my truck? I didn't give you permission to get in my truck. Mister, get out. He said, I ain't getting out. I said, who are you? He said, my name's Isaiah. I said, Isaiah who? He said, look in the Bible. I said, that's good enough. What do you want me to do, Mr. Isaiah? He said to me, he said, study the book of Isaiah and you'll find what you're looking for, boy. And I woke up. And so ever since then, I've been studying the book of Isaiah. I suppose you probably would also. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 6. It says, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? And I'll tell you right now what the cry is. That you don't believe. You're nothing but grass. You believe, being an American, that you have rights and privileges. Well, get this through your skulls. There is no vote in heaven. You don't have the right to vote. God is a dictator.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
He's a king, and he's sovereign.
Hallelujah.
You don't have the right to tell him what to do with you. You're but grass. All flesh is but grass. Now, in Christ, we have rights. Don't get this confused. And all goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fadeth away, but the word of our God shall stand sure forever. And you, America, you cannot change it. Do you understand that? You cannot change that. You may as well submit to it. You may as well receive it. Please, church, God is faithful. Whatever you're looking for, He will give it to you. But you've got to go for it beyond what you ever thought was possible for yourself. Whatever your limits are, broaden the borders. Extend yourself, Father. See, I'm riding down the road in my nice, fancy four-wheel drive. I like my trucks. They're fun to me. Like I said the other night, there's no substitute for power. And I've learned that from God. And if you have one of those things in your hand, it's got power. It's nice. Ooh, it's fun. And I'm riding down the road, and the jungle canopies over the road, and I go. Thing living out there. Don't you go up to everybody and be Mr. Johnny on the spot, fix it all, man. They may be a trap for you. They might want an AK-47 in your head. There was a man standing there waving me down, and I went up slow, and I stopped probably from here to the door back there, probably 25, 30 yards. And I stopped, and I said, I'm watching him. My family was in there, so I'm watching him. Then another man appears, and I'm wondering how many are down there, how many is on the side of that trail I don't see. So I slipped that thing down into four-wheel drive, and I put it into reverse. And I'm watching them. And then they brought a man out that had a towel laid over his head, and he was bent over double like this, walking very slow. He was in tremendous pain. And they were walking up to my truck. So I get out of the truck. I said, hold it right there, fellas. What do y'all want? We want you to heal this man. We've heard your God can do things that are abnormal. I said, what is God supposed to heal? Let me see what's under that towel. And they moved that towel off that man's shoulder, that little rag, and there was a tumor sitting there like a large grapefruit, and it was oozing. I said, bring that man over here. I said, you people heard right.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
Because Jesus can take care of that problem. I said, the first problem is salvation. They didn't know what salvation was, so I got my Bible out of my little backpack, explained to them that. I said, I'm not praying for this guy if all of you don't get born again. And they said, all right. Está bien. Nos entregamos. Está bonito, pues no es problema. So I led him to Jesus. Then the next thing you do is really simple. Just stick your hand down in the ooze. It gets all over your hand. And the devil says to you, you've got it now. And you say to the devil, shut up, you liar.
Yes.
You touch that ooze and you rebuke the devil and you curse that tumor in the name of Jesus. And then you tell that man, come with me, man. You take him back there and you put him up in the back of your truck and you take him to church with you. Because that's where you're going. And 2 weeks later, you go back out there and there's nobody in the trail. Up. So you go on to church. Herrero, Ixhuatlán de Madero, Veracruz. Name of the place. And when you get there, the people are running. When you walk in there, things are exciting and jumping and there's shout and there's excitement everywhere. You walk up and the Indians are not that away. They don't show that kind of emotion. And you walk in there, what's going on here? Oh, you should see this. And they bring that guy that's walking straight now up to you. You move that towel off his neck and the thing is gone.
Hallelujah.
Did y'all hear me? The Lord is faithful. The word of the Lord standeth sure forever. The devil's a liar. You got to step out there. You got to be faithful. Even when your flesh is being punished, you've got to be faithful. Got to. I want to do something a little different. Let's go to Revelations. Please. I'm not here to bore you. Am I boring you with this commitment talk? I'm not here for that reason. I really want to make a difference when I talk for God. That's all it is. Really, it's no more. Complicated. Y'all see me simple. I'm a simple fella. But God's fairly complicated, but I'm a simple fella. It's pretty simple. That's why you don't feel intimidated by my education. A lot of things you don't feel intimidated until it's time for prayer, then you're intimidated. Revelations chapter 2, please. Now I'm going to say something here. I'm going to read it out of the Bible. Let's put it like that. You can place it anywhere you want to, in history you can apply it to your life if you wish. I do. Or you can explain it away at some different time than your own. I'm not. I'm going to accept the responsibility of my generation, and whatever the cost is, I am going to pay it. So that my generation can know God. Whether it's prayer and fasting, whether it's spill your blood, whether it's go and go and go to the ends of the earth, preach in every nation, whatever the cost, that's fine, I'm going to pay. Because I feel like that Jesus wants me to. Here in verse 10, let's look at verse 9. Well, let's look at verse 8. All right, just So the angel of the church of, what do y'all want to pronounce that? Smyrna, great. Right, these things say the first and the last. Which was dead, but now he's alive. He's the right fellow. I know your works, your tribulation, your poverty, but you're rich, and I know your blasphemy of them, which are, they say they're Jews, but they're the synagogue of the devil, of Satan. Now you listen to verse 10. This is very important to a Christian walk. Most people I know shy away from these verses. I know few people that will take this verse at face value and bring the gospel to a dying world according to this. The Bible says, fear none of those things that you shall suffer. You see? That's how come when you go into a village and you're on a 7-day fast and you walk in there and you walk in, see, and you sit there and you got a whole bunch of your leaders around and you're going over all the administration stuff you have to do and you're talking about, you know, the stuff and trying to get it all organized and keeping it running smooth and you're using your Bible to make sure they understand why we do the things we're doing, what we're doing it for. Just church government stuff. It's not really, you know, that not very many people enjoy that kind of stuff. And so I'm sitting there and there's a bang on this little Indian hut on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And I told the leader, who are you expecting, man? Because the church is out there and they're having church. They're going wild like we was going wild a while ago. And they're having church while we're doing this business. And in a minute, we're going to go out there and join them. And this man, they opened the door and this man broke through. You don't do that. You don't break into those meetings like that. Almost everybody has great fear to interrupt us like that because of things that happen to people that mess with us. And so you come in there. I ain't talked to y'all about none of that yet. I don't know if I can. He comes in there and he looks at me. He knelt down. I was sitting in a chair and he knelt down. He grabbed my legs and he started, put his head down on my legs and just begins to weep. Help me. Help me. Ayúdame. Ayúdame. Por favor. I grabbed him by the head. ¿Qué te puedo ofrecer? What can I offer you? He said, heal me. I'm sick. So what's the matter with you, man? Oh, here it comes. This is going to be pretty wild. See where we are now. He said, they're in me. I said, who are they? He said, I don't know, but they walk around in me and they cause me pain. Oh, this is going to be good for y'all kids. And he was so sick and pale, I knew he was sick, but I didn't know who these were that were walking around inside of him. I said, you've come at the right time. You caught me seeking the Lord. You caught me prayer and fasting. I'm ready. Whatever you got, God's ready. He said, what do I have to do? I said, you don't have to do nothing. Just sit there. Just lift your hands up to Jesus. I said, are you born again? He said, no. I said, that's the first thing we'll deal with. Led him to the Lord Jesus. Myself. And me and the Indians, we prayed for him. I said, now what's wrong with you? Who bewitched you? Because if it's something in you walking around, it's from the devil. It's a witch doctor sent it to your house. I said, now, I want it really bad. And he told me a story about his family and these witch doctors and a big fight and a ruckus. I said, okay, you came to the right store. So we laid hands on him and rebuked the devil in the name of Jesus. Nothing happened. I said, now you go right into that service over there. And you sit down and you just shut your eyes and it's whatever they're singing, you learn those songs and just worship Jesus.
That's all you have to do. He said, all right. He gets up, he walks off. We've continued our meeting. That's normal for our meetings, get interrupted like that. He got to sitting over there, and directly we heard this ruckus over there in the church. So me and the leaders, we bolt out of that little house, and we run over there to the building. This is good. And that man is screaming. Is it writhing or writhing in pain? Writhing. He was hurting. I mean, this guy was on the floor and he was convulsing. He was, oh, gross, man. And in the pores of his skin, these bumps begin to appear all over his body. And out of the pores of this man's skin, little bugs called harvester ants came out of the pores of his skin and fell on the ground dead, hundreds of them. And he was instantly healed.
Praise God. Yes.
Oh my, that's got to bring some controversy. Verse 10. It happened. I brought him home in a bag and showed my wife. Fear none of these things that you shall suffer. It did happen. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you can be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. But be faithful unto the death. That's what we don't like to talk about as upper middle class Americans. Praise the Lord, brother. You could have gone all day without preaching this. Yeah, but I would be accountable to God for not telling you. I've got to tell you. God is faithful. Yes, some people will die. I've buried 2 American missionaries and 10 national pastors. I've got to tell you the price. You so much want to walk in the glory of God, but you are not willing to pay. You've got to change. You want God? Go for it. He's there. He's available. And He's faithful. He will not renege on you. One of my friends in ministry, a national pastor, was ordered by a religious group, very powerful, you stop preaching. Because of your influence, hundreds of people are going to the gospel. You've got to stop. He said, I'll never stop. Those Americans come in here and they've never asked for any money. They don't want nothing but to touch us and for us to be healed. Our lives are prospering. People are, the alcoholics are off of alcohol. The drug addictions are gone. The sicknesses are fleeing our homes. Our crops are producing more. Our animals produce more. And you want us to quit that? No! The next morning, he had 7 bullet holes in him and his head was chopped off. And you want me to calm down? Not on your life. No, I'm not wrong. You are. And we're going to change. And we're going to embrace this gospel. And we're going to receive from God. And we're going to continue in it. Do you hear me? Please hear me. Because there's something we can get, see? The last phrase in that verse. And I will give you the crown of life. I want it. Mine. I'll take it because God's faithful. I rebuke the devil. Do you understand?
Yes.
Y'all sure are getting quiet. The jumping shout is still here. Because you see, I've learned something. Another thing I've learned. These are very valuable things. It's just like going panning for gold. You're working, working, working. All of a sudden you find this nugget. And to you, because of the effort and the time and the amount of suffering you did in panning that thing, it's invaluable to you. And when you share it with other people, sometimes they don't receive it that way. You see? But we've got to change, church. We've got to change. We do. See? How many of y'all are born again? Would you raise your hands, please? See, look at all the people. Whoa, man, there's an army here. Let me show y'all something over here in Revelation chapter 12. Did you know that... Do you want to overcome? You do, right? Okay. So do I. I will, in Jesus' name, overcome. I will. See, I went to church one night. I'm always going to church, so I can say one night because it fits every night of my life. I was going to church one night, and I got out there, and it was nice. It was a great place. The setting is beautiful. It was at the Tamaya. And the setting is just wonderful. This valley is fascinating. It's like you go over a hill and you go back into time several thousand years, and it's just there. And it's just like it's never been touched. There are no impurities. It's just pure, and it's wonderful. I like it. The air, no foul odors, nothing. It's great. The water, you can drink it out of the creeks. The food, it's all natural. And there's nothing wrong. There's no bug sprays, what do you call that stuff? Herbicides? No, there's nothing. It's just natural junk there, and you can just live there. It's not. And I walk in there, and there was a devil there. Can you believe it? The perfect setting, and a devil shows up. I just don't like that. There was a naked woman dying with acute spinal meningitis. Y'all ever heard of that? Anybody? If you know anything about it, it's certain stages, you can't control it anymore. It's gone. You're a dead man or woman. This lady was there. I had never seen a lady contorted like her. I was impressed with what a human body's bones can do backwards. Her head was down close to the small of her back. And her arms and legs were so... Boy. And she was suffering tremendously. And the brothers, they were new brothers, they said to me, "Please, help her." What do you do when some, what do you do? How do you help? Can you help? Can you help? We're abundantly blessed with utterance and knowledge. Because God is faithful. The obstacle in front of you is no match for the Holy Ghost gifts in you. It doesn't matter what. It does matter to the person you're trying to help. But as far as you're concerned, even though your emotions are involved and you care and you're locked in with all this, you want to help so bad and you want to get this thing fixed. But there's nothing can stop the power of God. But I had never seen anybody twisted like this ever. Never. And I touched that lady, and a glory that I had the great honor to witness happened. She came undone and became normal, beautiful Indian woman. And they covered her up, and the fever left. And we went outside and had church. And while we were having church, she walked outside fully dressed, totally healed.
Hallelujah.
That's good, huh?
I wish the story ended there, Brother Steve, but it don't. I hope I'm not boring you with this commitment stuff. I'm trying to talk to you about a thought, a lifestyle with God that will cause you to be separated from people. They won't like you anymore, or very many of them. But that's all right as long as God's with you, moving with you. Really, it is okay. It's a little lonely, but that's okay. So I come home. I was excited, man. I came home. I told my wife, "Wow, Miss Hogan, you should have seen what I saw." Told her all about it. Wow, man, we were all happy. We went to bed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. About 2 o'clock in the morning, though, she, bang, wakes me up. Wake up! Because something happened. That thing followed me to the house. And by daylight, my wife looked exactly like that woman in that village the night before. You should have seen her. She was boiling with fever. Her head was back on her shoulders and she was all curled up, weren't she? It was bad. But you see, I prayed for her all day long. And then guess what time it got to be? Oh, shoot. You're right. It got time to go to church. So what are we going to do? God knows. My wife's almost dead here. She's been boiled alive from the inside out. When I was asked by God, told by God to go to the Indians, He didn't say that my wife won't die. He didn't say that my kids wouldn't. He didn't say that I wouldn't. The chances are that we will if we stay. Every day I stay, the chances grow greater. I like those odds. I like the challenge. So I got up. I was bathing her every few minutes in alcohol and went and bought some moonshine because we ran out of alcohol. Was bathing her in moonshine, trying to keep the fever down. Anything. I didn't know much, but I knew we had to keep that fever down. It got time to go to church. I was over there dressing for church because she was gone off in Never Never Land. Her mind, she was saying some strange things. She left us. But in a minute, she come to and she says, "Where are you going?" "I'm dying, David. Can't you see that? God will understand. I'm crying." "Miss Hogan, don't ever make me choose between you and God again." Now, I know how that sets with Americans. I am one. But that mindset is wrong. God's kingdom is right. And there's times when the call of God and my love for my family cross in a negative way instead of a positive way. And it has to do with commitment and my ability to trust a faithful God. Do you hear me? And my ability to overcome all odds, whether personal or family or any other odds, it's the material. And I weepingly put on my goggles and I fired off that 600 XR Honda. Bad motorcycle. 58 horsepower, 267 pounds. Bad. 4th gear I can ride on the back tire. Remember, there's never a substitute for power. All the way out to church, I weep and weep and weep as the devil's tormenting my mind.
with what a stupid idiot. Who do you think? God, you're goofy. You don't have any wisdom. You're a fool. I get to church. I can't tell you I preached without a little bit of madness, because I was a little bit angry. And I preached Jesus anyhow. I did my job. I did what God had asked me to do. I obeyed my call from God with my wife dying at home. To you that may be a small thing, but that lady means more to me than my own blood. Do you understand that? That's your you'll see. And so I go home. All the way home, the devil bombarding my mind, just harassing me. I'm trying to speak in tongues. I'm trying to rejoice. I'm trying. At least I was there trying. You wasn't with me. And I get home on that motorcycle. I drove it right through the front door, like always. Right into the living room. Got off. I took off my hat and my goggles. Because I'm real keyed up. Well, riding that thing really gets your adrenaline going. You know, I'm pulling off my gloves. I'm ripping jackets off. I'm throwing down backpacks. And I'm going in there. I'm looking for my wife. Because the devil has promised me she's dead. I can't find my kids. I can't find anybody. Oh, God. So I just go to my door, kick the thing open at my bedroom door. And my wife's sitting there, completely healed. Listen to me. Here's how you overcome. I'm going to read this with you. Starting at verse 7 of Revelation chapter 12. It says, "And there was a war in the heavens, and the war is now here on the earth. And the angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against the angels, and they didn't prevail. Neither was there found place found anymore in heaven for them. And the great dragon was cast out." What's his name? The old serpent, the devil, Satan. Who is he? He's a deceiver. Any way he can, he's going to torment you. But he, here in the United States, we are tormented with success. We are deceived because of success. It makes us believe we are somebody that we are not. It's God that gives the increase. It's nothing you and I do. It's God's purpose that gives the increase.
Yes.
The deceiver has got to be met as a deceiver, and he has to be cast down as a deceiver.
That's right.
Because he was cast out of heaven as one. And it says right here, "And I heard a loud voice saying, now." Ooh. See, how did I feel when I walked through that door and that acute spinal meningitis was off of my wife and she was healed? What did I do to that woman? I picked her up. I flung her around. I squeezed her and hugged her. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What a God. Man, that's nice. How did that man feel with that tuberculosis when that fire went through him and he was healed? How did he feel? How did I feel when God healed my heart? How did I feel? Here's how I felt. I'll read it to you. It says, "Now is come salvation and strength." It says, "And the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ." That's what it feels like. Totally deceived and whipped all the time is not what this verse is talking about. But it's talking about a people who know their God. Like Daniel chapter 11 verse 32 says. I think that's what it is. Let's go look. I want to not lie to anybody. I believe it's... Yeah, I was right. Oh boy. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. Yahoo! And
And such as do wickedly against the covenant, listen to me, don't you ever think that you're going to get away with being a people who want God, but you want Him on your terms when you want Him, and you're going to say to me, you want the power of God? You're doing wickedly against the covenant. You're not going to get it. We have been charged by the Holy Ghost that we can be strong and do exploits. Read it. Where are the exploits? We've got to get them. We've got to trust in the faithfulness of God. We've got to understand that in our covenant with God, we're not behind in any guilt. And we have knowledge and utterance from the Holy Ghost. Because God is faithful. It says it in my Bible. It says, against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. If somebody wades through that's got a beautiful, eloquent speech and moves you emotionally, you are swayed to go with him. Flatteries. If somebody comes through chopping and whacking, you ain't got time today to listen to that nut. What's wrong with him? Somebody calm him down. Get him under control. Been better than you try. There ain't a devil in hell that can stop it. When God comes on you, and He gifts you, and He endows you, and He fills you with utterance and knowledge. It doesn't matter how much of a fool you seem to other people. It matters when it's time to do exploits. Who they gonna call? You or me? And it's not because I am a better man. That's not right. It's because of the endowment of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you the truth. But the people of that do know their God, that's us. We know Him. We know Him, I tell you. Let the exploits of God flow through us. Let the powers of the Holy One flow through us. Do you hear me? Let it happen. Let it happen. 2 Thessalonians, please. I'm just about done. Aren't y'all happy? Where is that? That's the five T's. The second one of the five T's, right? In the New Testament. Where are we going? Oh, yes. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3. Oh, God, please let it be. Now, church, we've got to let this happen. All right? It's up to us now to let it happen. Here we go. Verse 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, and verse 1. It's our turn, church. Woo! It's our turn. It's our turn, church. See, there was this pastor one time, you see. And he was so taken by my aggressiveness and my uncompromised, no, we're going to do it this way, attitude. And we're going to try to seek God and all this. He said, I'm going to seek God, but I want you to come pastor my church. I said, I ain't got time for that. He said, yes, you do. And we're going to set it according to your schedule. And so I went up there and I took his church and he went away for 21 days. Now I'm the pastor of his church. Oh. Boy. This is going to be fun. So God gave me this little plan and we implemented it. And we had the great honor. Several things happened. One, he was 100% blessed when he come back because he had 100% new members. I don't mean, hey, wait a minute. You took that wrong, see? You thought I run them off because I preach too hard. You're wrong. What happened was we had those members that were there. We had 100% more new ones.
Praise God.
This happened. But not only that, something else happened that I want to share with you that's very important. I think you would appreciate. Maybe.
Oh, this is good. Come on, Jesus.
There was a man in the church that was a karate expert. He was about a fourth degree black belt karate man. Real good guy. Loved Jesus. He comes. I was there at our office, which was just a couple of miles from the church. And he comes up there, and I was at the office. And he comes in there, just busts right in. And, you know, a fourth degree black belt karate guy, you don't say much to those guys when they bust in your office. Yeah, how you doing, man? You doing all right? You don't say much to them. You kind of, yeah, praise God, brother. How you doing? But the reason he was that way, that was out of character for him. Because he was very respectful, very easy guy. He really was when he wasn't in the ring. But he said to me, I need you, and I need you now. I said, okay, that's great. What are we going to do? He said, my baby's dead, and my wife's dying. I said, you're right. You need me. Let's go. Got down to the hospital. It's the Valley Baptist Hospital there in Harlingen, Texas. And got down there. Come to find out that his baby was about... It looked like a... Y'all, please excuse this, but it really didn't look this way to me. It looked like a skint squirrel. I mean, it was a... What do they call them, little bitty? Premature thing. Baby. That thing was not that big. I'm serious. It was a little old bitty thing. You could see right inside it through its skin. I had never seen that before. So I was looking at that. It had little hoses sticking out every part, all over that baby. And it was on 100% life support. And the doctor was trying to tell me that there's nothing that baby, they're going to pull the plug. There's no way for this baby to live. And that man looked at me right in the face. He said, that's the voice of the devil talking to you, Brother David. You put your hands on my baby. And God will bring it back.
Hallelujah.
And I'm looking at that doctor and all of his knowledge. And this is what he's doing. And I'm looking at that. You know, when a fourth degree black belt karate guy has lost it, you don't fool with him too much. You let him do practically what he wants to. That little bitty bed, you know, that bubble thing, I don't know what you call all that stuff. Well, they had me wrapped up. I looked like a mummy. All I could see was my eyes sticking out. I had stuff tied all over me. And I looked at that little old thing and I said, God, help us. In the name of Jesus. This is in Valley Baptist Hospital in Harlingen, Texas, in the United States of America. This is not some Indian hut somewhere. Starting to listen to this now, finally? You touch that little thing, my whole hand covered the baby. In the name of Jesus, life of God flow into this baby. Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Yep. That's it. Let me out of here. Got to get this stuff off of me. Went down the hall, went in there, and it wasn't quite an intensive care room, but it was the next thing down from intensive care because she had lost all this blood. Hemorrhaging when she passed this baby, it was rough. And I walked in there and she was really pale and such a beautiful Mexican lady. Prayed for her in the name of Jesus. Asked God for her life also. And I shook old Danny's hand. I said, Danny, all you can do, son, is pray in tongues. Just sit in that chair and pray in tongues. We've done everything we can do. It's going to be God or nothing. Now you just sit over there in that thing and pray. You sit right in that chair and pray in tongues. You're all right, son. If you need me again, call me. I'll be down at the office. You know where I'm at. Well, I didn't see him the next day because I had to go to one of our works that's just across the border. We have works just across the border also. And so I was there. So then it was church time. Thursday night. Oh my. I had just got the microphone. And I was just fixing to open my Bible and the back door blew open. And in walked a 6'2" lunatic. shouting and screaming and crying. He come run up. I just handed him the microphone here. In one day, in a few hours, God had taken that baby to where it was only on 30% life support now. So we go back down to the hospital and we're rejoicing with everybody. And Ms. Melinda is healed. That's the mama. She's healed. Boy, we was all shouting. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Sunday morning comes. This really happened, didn't it, Miss Hogan? You was there. You saw it. Sunday morning. This, I promise you, it was just like this. I had just got the microphone again. No, serious. And I was on up, just fixing to tell them where to go to the first scripture verse. And the back door blew open. Boom! And in walked Danny with Melinda. She had a bundle of blankets. And he walked right up to me with them. I just handed him the microphone. And Ms. Melinda unwrapped that baby and she held it up before God and it was totally healed without brain damage. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. I ask you in the name of Jesus to pray for me and my work. I will do the same for you. And here's what I want you to pray for me. That the word of the Lord may have free course. That it would not be inhibited. That it would not be stopped. There is nothing that can stop the Holy Ghost. We need to pray for each other. That the word of the Lord will have free course in each other personally, in our families, our wives and our children, in our work that we're doing for the Lord, the work we're doing to gain money for our home, for our sustento, livelihoods. Right? What do you call it when you're sustained by the money you make? Livelihood? Livelihood! Income! Yes. Sustento. Yes. Free course. And be glorified even as it is with you. And that you may have, that you may be delivered. Now this is happening everywhere. In these great moves of God, there are unreasonable people around. They're everywhere. They're planted by the devil to stop you from flowing with God. Every great move has them. They're necessary. Don't hate them. Enjoy them. They cost you to see God, see? When these problem childs are there, these unreasonable and wicked men are around, it feels bad, but they are necessary so that you will seek the Lord and that you will overcome their spirit with the glory of God. And your people can receive glory. That works. It does never feel good. I hate it personally. But they're in every work. They were in Jesus' work. For all men don't have the faith as you think they do. I didn't come down here to tell you whether you have faith or not. I come down here to tell you to watch out for the ones that don't. My head man in Mexico deceived me for several years. He was embezzling money from the ministry. I didn't know that. I'm sorry I couldn't discern that. I apologize to you. Maybe you could, but you're not there, are you? I love this man. He was my first convert in Mexico. He grew up in the Lord. I watched him lay hands on dead folks and them rise up. I watched him lay hands on tumors and them fall off. I watched him touch blinded eyes and the eyeballs almost pop out of the head. I watched him. And because of what I saw, I was deceived by his person.
And he embezzled $100,000 from us over the years. He had sexual problems. He was in adultery and fornication with two different women. I could not believe it. Hate it. I love him to this day. I love that man. And whenever something like that happens that close to you, it's like ripping a limb off of your own body. I was one with this guy. Let me tell you like this. I've got witnesses. There's no thing that he and I prayed for together that didn't get healed. I'll just tell you like that. My confidence in him was so great. When I was deceived, it was opportunity to fall. It was. It really was. But you see, the Bible says, right here, pray for us. I will pray for you. That the word of the Lord can have free course, because all men don't have the faith. There are even unreasonable and wicked men around you. I ask you to seek the Lord, not the personage of men. You can stay healthy that way. If you don't, you'll die. I'm not speaking anything on you. It's just the truth. You will die physically and spiritually when they get through hammering on you and messing with you. Unless you know how to hold on to a faithful God. Okay. Look at verse 3, which has got to, you have got to see verse 3, all right? The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you, strengthen you, build you up in strength, and he will keep you from evil. God had to reveal our problem in our work and our structure. There were several other men in our work that were feeble, they were weak links. God revealed their weaknesses and moved them. Our work has fewer men in it now, but we are much stronger and more healthy. Much healthier. There's much more of the power of God with us now. I want you to listen to me. Regardless of what I've told you, a lot of different things tonight that has to do with staying true to the call of God. It has to do with honoring the endowment that God's given you through the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. A lot of it's exciting and fun, and a lot of it feels bad, and oh no, can you believe it? Believe it. So how can a guy like myself keep walking in the face of all the obstacles? I couldn't tell you that. It's just right to do. It's just honestly the right thing to do. When that much pressure is applied to you, and the devil's on you on every side to knock all your sticks out from under you and all your props, and everything about it happens, and you're being destroyed and annihilated. When all of that happens to you at one time, see? Here's what you say. It can't get any worse. Mistake. That's a mistake. Don't say that. Don't say, it can't get any worse. And don't say, I'll never do it. Don't say those two phrases in your life anymore. Stop it. Okay? I was just rebounding, trying to pick myself up off the floor from my great friend being ripped away and destroyed out of my life because he wouldn't repent. He had a lot of money now, and he had a lot of women. He didn't need me anymore or God. Don't feel sorry for me. Feel sorry for him. Pray for him. Okay? And I'm going to share two things with you, and I'm going to stop here. Let's go to, where is Peter? There it is. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to share this with you, and we're going to call it a night if that's all right with y'all. Because you see, right after picking myself back up off the ground from being
being blown away by my friendships and my love for these people and my care for these people. I was up in Mexico City getting some paperwork done for our ministry. And when I got back to the hotel, there was an urgent message for me to call home. I called home to find out that my wife, Mrs. Hogan, sitting right over there, the stove had blown up on her and she was burned alive from the waist up. Her face was burned off of her. Her hair was burned off of her. She had scabs and she was gnarled up all over her body. It can get worse. But if you get a chance, don't get too close to her, but just look at it. There's no scarring on her face. There's one scar on her right hand, I think, around her thumb area that shows that there was a little bit of scab there. But her entire body was completely melted. Do you know what Jesus did for us? Day 11, I wake up to find the scabs had fallen off of my wife's beautiful face and brand new skin was there and she was healed.
Hallelujah.
The scabs fell off of her arms and she was healed. What a God. What a God. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I will bless the Lord of my soul. With all that is within me, I will praise His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My God is faithful. And He did something for me that I trust He's done for you. If He hasn't done that for you, in Jesus' name He will before His night's over. Look at this here. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy... Thank you, God. Thank you for your mercy, God. Thank you, God, that you have begotten unto us again. What? A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive in me. He's made me to be a lively hope. He's faithful. He's faithful. God is faithful. It doesn't matter how bad it rains or how many demons is unleashed on you. It doesn't... Please. It does matter emotionally to us, but it doesn't matter spiritually. We will win.
Amen.
We will reap if we faint not, because Jesus is faithful. So while you're putting your little Bible in those fancy little plastic cases and nylon cases y'all tote around, I want to read something to you. Where is it? Oh, that's not the right place. Huh. That is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is my prayer for us. For you and myself. I'm talking of commitment here. I don't know if you've ever heard anything like this in your life, but it's the truth. All of it. It's the truth. Oh, there's so many things to talk about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. The very God of peace sanctify you how? Holy! There's no reason for you to be partly a Christian. There's not. You have been, according to the new covenant of the creation of God Almighty, made to be sanctified holy now. That's talking about where? In your spirit, in your soul, and your body. There's no reason
for either one of us. It's available for us. It's available. We just got to get it. So that we can be preserved, kept blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Look at verse 24. It says, because faithful. Faithful is God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost that called you, who also will do it. So I believe that.
Amen.
Do you see where I'm at here? I'm explaining to you why it happens for me. Because I believe He'll do it. It doesn't matter. It hurts me emotionally, and I do feel it just like everybody else. But it doesn't matter who quits or who doesn't quit. My relationship with Jesus is a whole situation, whether it's in my mind, whether it's in my spirit, or whether it's in my body. Do you understand this? And there's no way I'm going to sit around and let the demon rip me or my family off in any one of those things. Whatever it takes, then, I'll do it to be successful with the Holy Ghost. Please understand that, okay? Okay, real quick. Would y'all please stand up? Tell him I've got the list here. He knows if I ever will. I'm looking for God to make us faithful, okay, troops? Really? Because He's faithful. The people around us, they're unreasonable and wicked men. That's going to happen. It's been happening forever. This is not something new. Don't be deceived and ripped off and hurt and destroyed because of other people around you. Please, when they're flowing with God, flow. Hey, if they decide to retrocederse, let them go if they want to turn around and go back. But you and I, we can't. Do you understand that? We can't. We've been given a high calling of God. We've been made to be lively hopes. We've been gifted and endowed. We're not behind in any gift. We've been filled with utterance and knowledge. We have. We really have. And see, who just knows if one day you might go out to the village? And who knows if there may be a man chained? What if this man is demon-possessed? What if this man needs you? What if he is totally gone and oblivious to all your tactics and all your right ways? And what are you going to do with a guy that's chained with four chains? Naked, hair matted, urine and feces all over the place, all over him and his hair everywhere. They just throw his food in on the floor and he eats it like an animal. What are you going to do, church, when you meet that? Here's what you do. They unlock the little cage that he's in. Got double locks on the chain. A little bitty door. And you bend down and you walk in there and you can't see. You can't see. Because it's dark in that cage. It's actually a little bitty house. It's like a jail cell. And they lock those things behind you. Now you're in there with something. You don't know what it is. They told you it was a demon-possessed person. But you haven't heard her. Then you hear chains rattling. Then you hear chains rattle. And then you hear this low guttural growl. It's worse than that though. And your eyes are becoming, I'm right up against the door. And your eyes are becoming accustomed to the dark now. And you can see this form coming at you. And these chains are dragging behind him. Here he comes. What are you going to do now? Ah! Open that door! No, that's not what you do. You take a step toward him. He's coming at you aggressively. Fine. What you got, bud? Let's see. I That's right. And he don't stop. So you take another step. And whenever you get right there smelling the foul stench, and it is revolting to your system, but you stand your ground, eyeball to eyeball. And he's growling. And you look at him. You don't say a word. It's just look. That's enough. You start backing down. And you start going forward. He goes to the other end of the chain now. And he's whimpering like a whipped dog. And you reach over. And you just touch him. In the name of Jesus. I rebuke the devil. You hosts of hell that possess this body. You get out. In the name of Jesus. Then you walk over to the door. Let me out. I'm finished now. This is wonderful. You leave your fancy truck. You hike 2 hours to get to your truck. You get in your fancy truck. You plow through the mud, leaving placentas. When it rains, it's only about two feet deep. The mud. And a couple of weeks go by, you go back to church. You walk into church, sitting on the front row. There's a new man sitting there. Never saw him before. Clean cut, nicely dressed. So I walk up to him. Hey, how you doing, man? Doing fine, Brother Hogan. What's your name? My name's Peter. How you doing, Peter? Where are you from? Right here. How long have you been saved? About a week. That's good, Peter. He said, I was the man in the cage, Brother Hogan. Did you hear me?
Yes.
That's what's wrong with me, see. That's what's wrong with me. The chains fall at the name of Jesus. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to lift our voices to God right now. We're going to thank Him for being faithful to us. In the name of Jesus. Mighty God in heaven, thank you very much. Thank you, Jesus, for being faithful to us. We appreciate you, God, and your word. It's true. You are true. You are faithful. You are honorable. You are wholesome. You are holy. You are righteous. You are beautiful. We love you. Thank you. Thank you. Church, worship Him, please. He's worthy.
Thank you, Lord, for saving
Jesus.
My soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich,
Holy Ghost,
and free.
In the name of Jesus, touch us, Lord. Okay, in the last couple of services, you know that I've got to look for souls first. Just what if there's somebody here that needs Jesus? Wouldn't it be nice if they would repent and come to Jesus? Not to a man, but to Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice if they could receive this Lord, this powerful God that I'm talking about? I
I would like to ask you, if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, I'm not here to embarrass you or to make fun of you or to mistreat you. No, that's wrong. Don't think that way, please. But I would like to invite you to come up here to my left, your right, right here. I would like to invite you to come and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Please. Please. If you're here and you do not have Jesus Christ as Lord, would you please come up here with me and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? Please. Church, if there's someone around you that does not have Jesus as Lord, please. I'm not asking you to be rude or mean. I'm asking you just to talk to them. Be honest with them. Tell them, you need Jesus. Would you please accept Jesus as Lord? So if you would do that, please, church, while we're praying. If there's somebody around you, just look around you. If you're not sure about them, please ask them. You're doing them a favor. And just walk up here with them and let's lead them to the Lord Jesus. Please, if there's someone here that needs Jesus, in Jesus' name. Mighty God in heaven, we love you. And we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is there anyone? Let me get right past this. In the name of Jesus. You know what makes you nervous? Because I won't go on and leave this alone. But what if you have just a little bit of patience and they make a decision, yes. And they are eternally, if they walk with God, they're eternally free from damnation. Do you get it? Don't be nervous. It's important. It's important that they get an opportunity to say yes. It's also important that they make the decision no if that's what they want. Then they're without excuse. Their blood's not on my hands. I want to be free of it. I want to give them a chance. In Jesus' name. Anybody? Lots of people ask me, how can you stand there with everybody looking at you and you not get embarrassed and not be nervous? Because I believe what I'm doing is right. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. The souls of men are in a balance. They really are. And if there's something we can do to tip it to the favor of God, yes, we need to do it.
Yes.
Not try to hurt them or embarrass them. That's not what the plan is. The plan is to get them out of hell into heaven.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In Jesus' name.